on the KSRO live line with us from the Politico California Playbook is reporter Carla Marinucci. Hi, Carla.
Hey, Pat. Good to be with you.
Very good to be with you. Hard again to know where to start, but let's talk about this. Are you updating, making sure your passport is updated for a trip to Singapore?
I won't be going on that one, but I do know some of the White House press corps that are from Politico. And this is going to be a wild trip. It's a short one. But to have Trump tweeting about Kim Jong-un's excellent treatment of prisoners today is rather interesting. Because remember, this is a man who's considered one of the world's most harsh dictators and is estimated to have imprisoned hundreds of thousands of people in North Korea. So it's not all rosy in North Korea, despite the release of three prisoners last night.
President Trump says it will be a very special moment for world peace. And some people, some reporters, even in the middle of the night when he showed up at the tarmac to greet the three detainees from North Korea back to American soil, one reporter asked him, hey, what about that Nobel Peace Prize? And he said something like, well, that's not for me to say, although everybody else is talking about it.
Yeah. He has said on several occasions that everyone thinks he should get the Nobel Prize. I'm not sure that is correct in any way, but, you know, there's a long way to go before the Nobel Prize, Pat. Talking to a national security expert, I mean, here's the problem with this North Korea event coming up. You've got two issues, the denuclearization of North Korea and America's pullout from the region. And that is probably the condition that North Korea is going to put on any denuclearization. That is, yeah, okay, we'll get rid of our nukes, but you leave the area. And, of course, if the United States pulls out of that area, who freaks out? Japan?
Yeah.
And South Korea. They have relied on U.S. security. And, of course, and who celebrates if the United States pulls out? China. And then they have the whole neighborhood to themselves.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pieces in this puzzle. Nobody should be popping champagne yet, because for any of those things to happen, there are a lot of hurdles to take place. So I don't think anyone should be celebrating their Nobel Prize.
Just yet. Well, call me crazy and maybe a little bit jaded at this point, Carla, but it's hard to imagine these two world leaders meeting, given the stance that has been taken, you know, up to about 3 weeks ago, and believe that anything remarkable will come out of it. I hope so, but it's hard to imagine that Kim Jong-un having spent, you know, North Korea having spent so many decades pulling together their nuclear program is going to say, okay, here they are.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. I mean, let's remember, this is one of the most repressive regimes ever in the history of the planet. I mean, the entire country practically is disconnected to the rest of the world without internet, without Google or Facebook or anything else. And the prison camp system there has been massively increased under Kim Jong-un. So you're right. Just a few months ago, Trump was calling him a little rocket man. They were talking about whose nukes were bigger.
Yeah.
And this trip has been pulled together on very short notice, considering the stakes involved. And this is what a lot of folks in national security are worried about. There's a lot can go wrong in a trip like this. You really have to have the preparation down, and people worry about whether that is the case, whether Trump is prepared enough for this. This is not a reality show. This is a very high stakes game.
Yeah, the highest
that both of these guys are playing. Right, exactly right, Pat. You've got it on the money, and I think people's expectations are getting out of whack on this one. And I'm just an observer. Obviously, I don't cover national security on a daily basis. But the fact is, you talk to anybody in that sphere, and they are very worried about how this is going to go. So I think we should all be crossing our fingers, obviously, for the sake of world peace.
Yeah.
But to get expectations up is unrealistic.
Yeah, and I think that it's also important for us to make sure that everybody is safe in this endeavor also, including the reporters who are going to be attending. And back to California.
Yeah.
Back to California we go, Carla. And any surprises at all for you during the governor's debate this week?
Yeah, you know, I think it was, you know, clearly I think Gavin Newsom came out the winner in that debate in the sense of he just nailed most of the answers. He looked like a governor, and I think he didn't screw up in any way to ruin it. He's got his the front runner in that race. We were expecting a little more fire from Antonio Villaraigosa, the Democrat.
Yeah.
You didn't really see that. So I think right now the question is who's going to be number two? Who's going to end up the contender with him in the November general election? And more that's looking like John Cox, the Republican, which, you know, Gavin Newsom can only pray for. Because in a state where the Republican Party is on the decline and heading toward third-party status, that means that probably you're looking at Governor Gavin Newsom come November. So I think it was interesting to watch, but I think it only sort of solidified Newsom's role as a frontrunner. And now we're going to watch and see who comes in number two, Pat.
Yeah, that's going to be a very important part of the equation for sure. I was surprised, Carla, that the two Republican contenders did not go after each other in earnest, thinking, well, maybe that's the way into this primary.
Yeah, you know, I think I have just come off of the Republican State Convention last weekend, Pat, where they were going at each other, and it was very contentious with the real conservative sort of Tea Party darling, Travis Allen, you know, saying, bragging that he's the only candidate who voted for President Donald Trump and who supports him on every issue, including the border wall, immigration, and so forth. John Cox has admitted he'd never voted for President Trump, and in the past, you know, he's run for office 5 times already in Illinois. Before he came to California. So he's a wealthy businessman who's put up millions and millions of dollars on this run for governor. It is a long shot. There's no doubt about it in the state, you know, where Republicans are really sort of an endangered species. But they are going after each other, but you're right, on that stage they didn't. At this point, boy, if either one of them gets into that contest, and Gavin Newsom pretty much said it the other night, he's praying for that. That means that's good news for him.
Well, we talked to all the candidates, but we talked to the two Republican candidates within the past week before the debate, and yeah, there's some far right activity going on there. And just personally, after the conversations, I kept thinking to myself, really seriously, are these guys on crack or what? Thinking that this is going to get them elected governor in California.
That's exactly, I mean, that's the problem for Republican candidates. They are viewed as out of touch with what a lot of Californians support on issues like immigration and you know, businesses and so forth. And, you know, John Cox, he's an interesting character in the sense that he has run for office so many times. And he really feels like running California like a business is the way to go. But, I mean, we've heard other candidates suggest that in the past, including Meg Whitman.
Yeah.
Who spent $150 million of her money trying to get elected on that theme. So we'll see how successful he is. And Travis Allen, so far to the right that I think the chances are limited at best. But boy, he has a following among his Tea Party folks in California.
I'm sure he does. Yeah, it's a small group, but it is an active group. And let's talk bulldogs in the Senate. And California has got to lay claim on bulldog number one in a questioning capacity, and that's got to be Kamala Harris.
Boy, yesterday, yeah, watching her question Gina Haspel, the CIA nominee.
Yeah,
she really showed that. Yeah, she really showed that prosecutor history that she has. Was not taking any bunk from Haspel, and basically said, look, do you think torture is moral? Are you going to do it if President Trump orders you to do so? And she didn't really get a clear answer from Haspel.
But she wanted one. She wanted one, yeah.
Yeah, it was real drama to watch her do that questioning. Both California's U.S. senators are going to vote no on that nomination, but it looked like it could still squeak through. But the fact is, Kamala Harris, every time she sits up there on a panel and does that questioning, she gets national attention. It only bolsters her sort of the whole feeling that she's going to be a 2020 candidate for president.
Yes, it certainly does. Certainly does. And I'm thinking, Carla, that soon at a toy store near you, you're going to find the Gavin Newsom 6 degrees of separation game. Because in the California playbook this morning, from the social scene, word that Donald Trump Jr., who has moved on from his wife Vanessa, now dating the former First Lady of San Francisco, ex-wife of Gavin Newsom, Kimberly Guilfoyle. So there you have it.
I don't know. The gossip scene doesn't get any better than that one.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of ties Gavin's the whole thing together.
Gavin's ex-wife dating Donald Trump Jr. Okay.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what, when they did that spread in, what was it, Vanity Fair years ago, we didn't think it was going to come to this. Wow.
I'm sure Gavin, every time he looks at these headlines, is just shaking his head and taking the Tylenol, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to say, when we talked to him on Tuesday morning, and he sounded, I didn't know if he was going to make it through the debate. His voice was pretty darn raspy at that stage of the game. But he did. He did. He made it through just fine.
He did okay.
Read the California playbook from Politico. It is chock full of information and also the occasional fun stuff, like that bit of information right there. Carla, always a pleasure to have you here.
Great. Always good to be with you, Beth. Thanks.
That's Carla Marinucci, who, along with David Siders, puts together the California playbook every single day. And we read it every day, that's for sure.